Winds News Time, 7:56. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The reported decision of Cardinal Joseph Glemp, Primate of Poland, to repudiate an agreement made by four eminent Catholic cardinals to build a new convent for the Carmelite nuns away from Auschwitz adds turmoil to the existing distress. Cardinal Glemp's abrupt behavior violates a solemn agreement entered into by respected major churchmen with European Jewish leaders. It is evident that there are two differing Catholic churches and two contrasting nationalisms in today's Poland. One is the old Polish church, which was rigid, intolerant of other religions, and deeply anti-Semitic. The newer church is constructed on the values of Vatican Council II and its commitment to positive Catholic-Jewish relations. Cardinal Glemp is clearly the embodiment of the pre-conciliar church. There is also an old nationalism that was authoritarian and repressive. The new nationalism of solidarity is tolerant and committed to democratic pluralism. From conversations with Polish leaders last week, I have been told that many Solidarity leaders are appalled by Cardinal Glemp's recent statements. He may end up doing more damage to Poland's image than the communists were ever able to do. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Winds News Time, 7:57, the preceding a commentary and the views expressed, not necessarily the views of WINN. Winds News Time, 7:56, now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The decision of Cardinal Joseph Glemp, primate of the Polish Catholic Church, to postpone his visit to the United States this month is a welcome development. The cardinal's intemperate remarks created almost as great a furor in the Catholic community as it did among the Jewish people. His anti-Jewish attacks were medieval and outrageous, and in the process he also humiliated four of the most respected Catholic cardinals in Europe. Fortunately, they took none of that abuse sitting down. It is also a sign of the growth of positive Catholic-Jewish relations in America that several of the leading U.S. bishops, among them Cardinal O'Connor, publicly criticized Cardinal Glemp's hostile remarks. From what I have heard, it is the American bishops who have made it clear to Cardinal Glemp that he would be wise to stay at home. He would have been met by protests in every city he visited. Better he spend his time learning from his colleagues what positive Catholic-Jewish relations requires, even from the primate of Poland. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Winds News Time, 7:56, now a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
This is the day of the creation of the world. This is the day on which all creatures of the earth stand under judgment. These are phrases from the Machzor, the Hebrew prayer book, that is used for the services of the Jewish people on Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. It begins at sundown next Friday evening. The high holy days of Rosh Hashanah, climaxed by Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, are solemn days that express the universal human need for self-correction, for taking stock of one's life. Through repentance and then fasting, the Jew seeks to change individual and group existence for the better. More so than perhaps in other years, Rosh Hashanah enables us to confront honestly the corruptions, the bigotry, the greed, and selfishness that is so widespread in our nation. The themes of who shall live and who shall die make us more conscious of the violence and destruction of so many lives, as in Lebanon, the Sudan, South Africa, Ireland, Israel, and elsewhere. In the face of such widespread human suffering, Rosh Hashanah encourages us to intensify our efforts to redeem and heal an anguished world through acts of moral courage, kindness, and caring for human lives. May all our WINS listeners be inscribed for a good and, above all, a peaceful new year. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary, the views expressed, not necessarily the views of WINS. Winds News Time, 7:55. Here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
With the chanting of the moving Aramaic prayer of Kol Nidre this evening, the Jewish people throughout the world begin the observance of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the most sacred of the Jewish holy days. Observed as a solemn fast day from sundown to sundown, Yom Kippur is marked by spiritual exercises to renew one's personal and community life for the coming year. Its perennial message is that it is possible for human beings to improve their character and strengthen their moral conscience through the rigorous discipline of teshuvah, turning away from error and sin. In the synagogue that's called Nidre Evening, each person is called upon to turn to his or her neighbor and ask forgiveness for any injustices inflicted during the past year. And Jewish tradition says that Yom Kippur will be of no avail unless people forgive each other and start a fresh and mutually respectful relationship. I often wonder what blows might be struck against the evils in the world, the corruptions, the violence, the bigotries, if the United Nations delegates meeting now were to practice authentic repentance and forgiveness. It might help start the world on a new, more civilized course for the coming year. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS.
News Time, 7:56. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The newspapers and other media are filled these days with stories about the so-called Jewish vote. That suggests that there is a collective Jewish bloc whose voting pattern is predictable and can be manipulated. That simply is not the case. Like every other religious, ethnic, and racial group, the Jewish community is deeply concerned about issues confronting all of us in New York. And like every other group, it is also concerned about its specifically group interests. There is no question that the expressions of anti-Semitism and racism during the campaign have deeply distressed most Jews in this city. That has nothing to do with the color of the skin of the candidates for mayor. That anxiety grows out of the fact that the United States is the first country in Jewish history that never gave governmental or political sanction to anti-Semitism. If anti-Semites and racists can penetrate into political campaigns, that becomes a threat to the very foundation of American democracy. It would also become a challenge to the largest Jewish community in the United States. Fortunately, both mayoral candidates understood at once what was going on and dismissed the bigots. Now it will be up to the voters to elect the candidate who will best harmonize the many group interests in service of the common interest. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Winds News Time, 7:56. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
And the earth was corrupted before God, and the earth was filled with violence. That image dominated the account of Noah and the Ark read in yesterday's synagogue services. It felt as if one were reading about the streets of New York City. Look at what has been going on here these past few days alone. On Halloween Day, hundreds of young thugs poured out of high schools and terrorized, beat, and robbed ordinary citizens in our streets. I witnessed such an assault in the East 70s when a teenage hoodlum brutally choked a Vietnamese man delivering a pizza. The punk was driven away, but he had only defiance on his face. And then 10 girls were caught after they had terrified some 40 women with needle attacks. The detective said they thought it was fun to jab people and see their reactions. In Noah's day, the world was filled with contempt for human life, theft, and robbery. And the floods came to wash out the viciousness. Noah and his family were saved in the ark because they had compassion and respect for other people, even for animals. We need not wait for a flood if every major institution, government, the media, schools, and religion would re-examine seriously their roles in containing the culture of violence and inspire greater respect for every human life. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS.
Now, commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Is there any special Jewish dimension to the current upheavals in East Germany? There have been an estimated 2,400 Jews in all of East Germany. Their situation has been, at best, ambiguous under the communist regime. The GDR has been correct in helping rebuild and maintain some 8 synagogues and Jewish cemeteries. But in that official atheist country, nearly half of the small Jewish population thought it necessary not to identify themselves publicly with the Jewish community. It will be instructive to learn how many of the younger East German Jews joined their Christian neighbors in their dramatic exodus into democracy and freedom in West Germany. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in East Germany has been a major moral force in opposing communist oppression and in demanding democratic reforms. Interestingly, that same church has been in the forefront of promoting Jewish-Christian dialogue and in combating anti-Semitism. It is not generally known that the GDR has been a major training ground for international terrorists, especially the PLO. It has also double-talked about reparations to victims of Nazi persecution. Jews agree with everyone who exults over the collapse of totalitarian oppression in East Germany and elsewhere. It remains to be seen what changes in actual democratic policies a new regime will be allowed to make possible. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS.
News Time, 7:57 now, a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Lech Walesa came and captured America's imagination as the authentic symbol of the freedom revolution in Eastern Europe. I met and spoke briefly with Walesa last Thursday evening at the International Rescue Committee reception. It is easy to understand his moral appeal. He comes across as unpretentious, direct, blunt, and good-humored. He said to me, "Good Polish-Jewish relations are important to me. Poles and Jews need each other. I want to work to improve our ties." On Friday morning, he met with a conference of presidents of major Jewish organizations, and he was unambiguous in condemning anti-Semitism. There is no room in the new Poland for anti-Semitism, and Poles who harbored hatred for Jews deserve to be spat upon. Those were Lech Walesa's own words. The charismatic Solidarity leader also predicted that Poland would soon establish diplomatic relations with Israel, and he wanted to visit the Jewish state. There were Jewish reservations over his defense of Cardinal Glemp as a religious and not as a political leader. But it is clear to me that all of us who cherish democracy, including the Jewish people, have a friend in Lech Walesa, and we need to help his freedom movement succeed. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding a commentary, the views expressed, not necessarily the views of WINS. News Time, 7:56. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
At times, it would seem that some of us think Thanksgiving was created mainly to promote bigger and better discount sales. Obviously, no one opposes saving money and shopping wisely. But if Thanksgiving becomes only commercialism, then we are violating values critical for the quality of the American and human spirit. When the pilgrims first celebrated Thanksgiving in 1620, they based their observance on the ancient Israelite practice in the Bible. The core teaching of the Israelites, and later the pilgrims, is that gratitude is the most distinctive quality of being fully human. Every day is a gift. Our lives are a gift. Health, food, clothing, and shelter are daily blessings. In our frantic lives devoted to success and making money, we often take those gifts for granted. Do we have to experience a Hurricane Hugo or a San Francisco earthquake to realize that our daily gifts are not permanent and that we need to be thankful each day for our well-being? And the next time you walk by a homeless person in the street, you experience how human it is to share some of those abundant gifts with those who have so little. If we act out these values in real life, then Thanksgiving becomes something more important than a sales promotion. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS.
WINS News Time, 7:56, and now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Professor Selo Whitmire Baron of Columbia University was an authentic genius, a towering giant of Jewish and general historic scholarship. He died last Saturday at age 94, and the entire Jewish world mourned his passing. His closest students, Professor Yosef Yerushalmi and Rabbi Arthur Hertzberg, described him as undoubtedly the greatest Jewish historian of the 20th century. Professor Baron's legacy is monumental. His multi-volume social and religious history of the Jews revealed his complete mastery of ancient, medieval, and modern history. One of his great moral and intellectual contributions was his opposition to what he called the lachrymose view of Jewish history. Suffering is indeed part of Jewish destiny, he said, but so is repeated joy as well as ultimate redemption. Dr. Baron believed mystically in the regenerative power of the Jewish people that transcends tragedy. This erudite scholar was also an activist. He testified powerfully at the Adolf Eichmann trial in Israel, and during Vatican Council II, I consulted him often for his sage advice, which he gave generously. In his eulogy, Rabbi Hertzberg said it just right. We revered him, and we thought he would live forever. As long as his books are read, he remains immortal. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The proceeding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS.
WINS News Time, 7:56. Now, here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
How would you feel about the rebuilding of the ancient temple in Jerusalem? That question will be underscored for Jews, but also for Christians and Muslims, during the coming observance of Hanukkah. The eight-day Festival of Lights, which begins on December the 22nd, commemorates the rededication of the Holy Temple following its pagan defilement. But with the reconquest of Jerusalem on the Temple Mount by Israel in the 1967 war, A modest movement has developed mainly among traditional Jews to rebuild the temple in our days. Some Orthodox Jews question whether we have the right to rebuild the Holy Temple before the Messiah arrives. Nevertheless, groups of Israeli traditionalists are preparing seriously for the construction of an intermediate temple before the Messianic Age. Clearly, a reconstituted temple would trigger off major debates between modernist and traditionalist Jews. Fundamentalist Christians, however, fervently support the temple's rebirth as a precondition for the Second Coming. Most Muslims see it as a threat to the Al-Aqsa Mosque. The Vatican and other Christian bodies have taken a wait-and-see attitude. In the meantime, Jews everywhere will continue to light the Hanukkah candles joyfully and faithfully, at least until the Messiah comes. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wins News Time, 7:57. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
He was the secular saint of perestroika and human rights. Andrei Sakharov, Nobel laureate and brilliant physicist, died at age 68 last Thursday night in his Moscow study. For two decades, he risked everything in order to champion the human rights of all Soviet citizens, particularly Soviet Jews. As the leading nuclear physicist and architect of Russia's hydrogen bomb, Sakharov and his wife Elena Bonner could have lived an elitist life of relative peace and plenty. But his moral conscience compelled him to use his great stature to win Western support for oppressed dissidents, and he also led the struggle for universal nuclear disarmament. Leo Nevis, a distinguished lawyer from Connecticut and president of the International League for Human Rights, met with Sakharov and his wife several times in Moscow. He was deeply impressed by their courage in the midst of their bare and tattered material lives. They sacrificed much in order to call constant Western attention to Soviet refuseniks such as Natan Sharansky. As Soviet citizens have said in mourning Sakharov's passing, he was the real leader in the real perestroika. As long as he was alive, we all felt safe. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. News Time, 7:57. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Retelling the story of the Maccabees this Hanukkah is like reading the headlines on the historic revolt for freedom in Eastern Europe. The Maccabees were a small group of faithful Jews who lived in Palestine some 2,000 years ago. Their Syrian conquerors oppressed their right to practice their Jewish faith or to live a free, independent existence. Despite the overwhelming military power of the Syrians, the Maccabees succeeded in breaking their repressive grip. These freedom fighters then rededicated their defiled temple in Jerusalem, and the Festival of Lights became the symbol of faith, determination, and freedom. Now the massive revolts against communist oppression in Eastern Europe is in many ways a modern miracle. After some 40 years of police terrors and denial of religious and other freedoms, the collapse of the Berlin Wall and all that it symbolizes testifies to the irrepressible will of human beings to live as free people. But the Maccabees remind us that driving out the oppressors was but the first step. The crucial challenge is still ahead. Rebuilding societies based on genuine liberty, democratic pluralism, and respect for every human being. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. Wins News Time, 7:57. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
What problems and promises will the 1990s pose for us? No serious reflection on the coming decade, I believe, is possible without speculating on the impact of changed East-West and North-South relations on all of us. The massive revolutions for democracy and the collapse of communist tyrannies will have fateful and mixed results for the world community, and they may have special effects for the Jewish people. Glasnost and perestroika will probably result in growing massive emigration for Soviet Jews. The challenges to financial and human resources will be monumental and will call for unparalleled commitment and patience. Providing religious and educational support for the million-plus Jews who choose to remain in the USSR will also be a commanding Jewish concern. If the fall between the superpowers continues, as we hope it will, there may also be changed prospects for peace in the Middle East. But glasnost could also mean increased nationalism and anti-Semitism, which will call for vigilance. In North-South relations, the Panama upheaval suggests Latin American democracy will become an even greater concern than in 1989. An old Jewish prayer sums it all up. Let the old year with its problems end. Let the new year with its promises begin. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding a commentary and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Winds News Time, 7:58. Winds News Time, 7:56. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Recent conversations with Jewish and Catholic friends in Panama persuade me that the American removal of General Noriega from power was without question a positive achievement. During my earlier visits to Panama, it was clear that Noriega was running a police state that dominated its citizens with fear and terror. Why is it that the overthrowing of tyrants in Romania and in other East European countries is a cause of celebration, but in Central America it is a reason for debate among some? Some 5,000 Jewish citizens of Panama have special cause to be relieved by Noriega's defeat. During recent days, Noriega's followers and the so-called dignity battalions rampaged with arms through the business districts, looting and destroying everything in sight. An estimated 40% of these stores were owned by Jewish businessmen. But Noriega made Panama's economy into a basket case for all Panamanians. American Jewish leaders last week urged the White House to do everything possible to help rebuild that devastated country. Finally, I want to pay tribute to the brilliant diplomacy of the Papal Nuncio and the Vatican, which delivered Noriega, the drug criminal, to the United States. It was a case history and psychological persuasion that deserves to be studied. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed not necessarily the views of WINS. Winds News Time, 7:56. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The life and monumental career of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., whose birthday the nation observes tomorrow, was deeply intertwined with American Jews. During a memorial service we held for Dr. King in Atlanta several years ago, his father, the Reverend Daddy King, said with deep emotion, "The Jewish people were the best and most trusted friends of Dr. King and the movement." He then told how an Atlanta Jewish lawyer and accountant had literally saved the infant civil rights movement from politically inspired efforts of an Internal Revenue Service agent to smother it. I first met Dr. King in February 1963. I had the privilege of serving as program chairman of the first national conference on race and religion held in Chicago. That successful ecumenical assembly gave the civil rights movement national credibility as well as religious troops. As Jews were committed to Dr. King and his moral cause, so was he a trusted supporter of every major Jewish cause. He vigorously opposed anti-Semitism, advocated the human rights of Soviet Jews, and steadfastly supported Israel. Blacks and Jews today would do well to study together Dr. King's words and deeds of healing and trusted cooperation. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Winds News Time, 7:55. And now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Two studies issued by major Jewish organizations on hate-inspired violence should be a cause for concern by all of us. We are painfully aware of the racial conflicts in Howard Beach, Bensonhurst, and in several of our high schools and colleges in this area. Now the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith reports that there were nearly 1,500 anti-Semitic occurrences in 1989. That figure represents a 12% increase over the year before. The American Jewish Committee issued a specialized study on the rise of the racist neo-Nazi skinheads. The skinheads were responsible for a 180% increase in racial or anti-Jewish episodes. The AJC study describes them as the domestic terrorists of the 1990. What all this hatred and violence seems to suggest is that the moral core of our society is eroding. A contempt for human life is being sustained by a moral anarchy that feeds on drugs, crime, corruption, and media violence. In the 1990s, greater anti-bias law enforcement will be required, but it will take the leadership of all of our religious, educational, and civic organizations in a concerted effort to contain all forms of bigotry and to build a spirit of respect for differences among all our citizens. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Winds News Time, 7:55. And now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
I admit at the outset that I am partial to classical music, good jazz, rhythm and blues. I have little tolerance for heavy metal and rap music, and I thought it was okay if others enjoy it. The recently rap group Public Enemy went over the line with the issuing of a new album that is patently anti-Semitic, and it's time to blow the whistle. The new rap song is called Welcome to the Terror Dome. The band's lead singer, Charles Ridenour, is a disciple of Louis Farrakhan's. His lyrics on this album are fairly stamped with Farrakhan's anti-Semitic poison. The song accuses the Jewish people once again of the crucifixion of Jesus and mocks their biblical covenant. Ironically, Pope John Paul II, a week ago in Rome, issued a statement rejecting the old hostile mythologies against the Jewish people and called for increased mutual respect between Christians and Jews. If I have to choose between the Pope and Farrakhan, you know where my vote goes. Beyond the Jewish question, there is a quality of anarchy and degeneracy in much of this rap culture that has the taste of the decline of Rome about it. Jews and Christians together have a stake in providing more positive alternatives to this rap sickness. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The proceeding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Winds News Time, 7:55 now. Here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The late Justice Arthur Goldberg, among his many distinctions, served in the mid-1980s as chairman of a research study on the response of American Jewry to saving European Jews during the Nazi Holocaust. Together with other Jewish representatives, I served on that committee. It was one of the most troubling experiences of my life. There were all kinds of explanations as to why more could not be done to save lives. Limited Jewish political clout, possible rise of anti-Semitism, unreliable information on the Jewish plight. The bottom line was that with some important exceptions, American Jewry had not risen fully to the great challenge of redeeming the captives. As reports come in daily now on Soviet Jews, I think back to that Goldberg study in the 1930s. The Soviet Union and Nazi Germany clearly are in no way comparable. But there are moral challenges that are similar. Within the next several years, there may be a million Soviet Jews emigrating to Israel and the United States. This historic migration will pose massive problems of housing, jobs, rehabilitation. If the 6 million Jews had been saved before the Nazis destroyed them, who would not have wanted to face such life-saving challenges of rescue? Today, what Jew or any person of conscience does not want to help redeem Soviet Jewish lives while there is still time? This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Winds News Time, 7:56. Now a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Our first president, George Washington, would probably have been pleased with much that is going on in the world today. He also would have been mightily troubled. The father of the American Revolution would clearly have welcomed the collapse of repressive communist regimes in Eastern Europe and the rise of pluralistic democracies. But at the same time, our first American president, I believe, would have been deeply disturbed over how much religious, racial, and ethnic conflict exists in so many parts of the world. In Lebanon alone, more Christians and Muslims have tragically died in 2 weeks than have Israelis and Palestinians in 2 years since the Intifada. In the Soviet Union, Christian Armenians and Muslim Azerbaijanis have perished in the thousands. And thousands more have died in the Sudan, Ethiopia, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, while South Africa bleeds and hungers, even with Nelson Mandela's welcome release. In almost every conflict that pockmarks the globe today, one finds an absence of any belief in religious or racial pluralism. The genius of the American Revolution is that it gave birth to the conviction of respect for difference of every group in our society. The experience of not just live and let live, but live and help live, may well be America's most important export to building world community. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Winds News Time, 7:56. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The extraordinary performance of Czechoslovakia's playwright president Václav Havel last week in the United States focused sharply the international spotlight on the whirlwind events in Eastern Europe. The Jewish people, I believe, shares in both the hopes and fears that those tumultuous developments pose for the world. Beneath the headlines, there were many positive as well as troublesome things going on in East European Jewish relations. The first level had to do with Israel. Breaking with their Stalinist past, Hungary, Poland, Czechoslovakia, Bulgaria, Romania, and Yugoslavia had either restored diplomatic ties with Israel or were on their way to doing so. A good number of agreements were recently signed between former communist countries and Israel for academic, scientific, and technological cooperation. Also in Poland last week, church and government officials broke ground for a new Carmelite convent away from Auschwitz, thus reducing tensions. On German reunification, Moshe Ahrens, Israel's foreign minister, said his country did not oppose reunion, provided that strong safeguards would be established to prevent Nazi and anti-Semitic revivals. While Jews welcome the rise of democracy in Eastern Europe, they clearly share with others a rational concern that super patriotism will not be allowed to feed chauvinism and religious ethnic hatreds. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Winds News Time 7:57, daylight saving time. And now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
If I had not seen it with mine own eyes, I would have found it difficult to believe. Last Sunday night, some 300 Jewish leaders in New York gave standing ovations to the new Prime Minister of Poland, Dr. Tadeusz Mazowiecki. The occasion was an American Jewish Congress dinner at which its Freedom Award was presented to the Polish leader. The evening had a quality of history and turning point about it. The Prime Minister, a modest and unpretentious man, confronted directly the painful history of anti-Semitism in his country. We regret deeply the attempts to foster hatred against the Jews in Poland, both in ancient and modern times, he said. He rejected Communist Poland's earlier support of the United Nations resolution, which tried to stigmatize Zionism as racism. He acknowledged with no hesitation the unique character of Jewish suffering under the Nazis and described sensitively Poland's own tragedy. Prime Minister Mazowiecki then spoke proudly of his restoring diplomatic relations between Poland and Israel. And then dramatically he announced that Poland would aid in the emigration of Soviet Jews to Israel. It was quite an evening for starting a new chapter in Polish-Jewish relations. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The proceeding was a commentary. The views expressed, not necessarily the views of WINS. Winds News Time 7:57, now a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Tomorrow evening at sundown, the Jewish people throughout the world begin the observance of Passover, the Festival of Freedom. The oldest and most influential of Jewish festivals, Passover commemorates the liberation of the Israelites from bondage to Pharaoh in Egypt. The exodus from Egypt was an event of both physical and spiritual liberation that literally changed the moral course of history. In ancient Egypt, life was steeped in cruel human slavery and total obedience to Pharaoh. Pharaoh was worshipped as a god and was the source of all law, but never its servant. When Moses and the Israelites rejected the culture of ancient Egypt, they won a victory for the dignity of every human life and for the rule of law. Thus, Passover celebrates redemption from slavery not only as a past event, but as a present-day experience. At the colorful Passover Seder this year, uppermost on Jewish minds will be the modern exodus of thousands of Soviet Jews. As with many East Europeans, they suffer the bitterness of oppression and now exult in the springtime of freedom. Their well-being, the security of the State of Israel, and prayers for a better, more humane world will invest new and deeper meanings for Passover this year. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding a commentary, the views expressed, not necessarily the views of WINS.
Here is a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Passover and Easter are both springtime festivals, but their similarities in ritual practices are more than an accident of the calendar. A great Jewish biblical scholar, the late Professor Julian Morgenstern, wrote that the entire Holy Week observances cannot be understood apart from their origins in Judaism. Thus, the pilgrimage to Jerusalem with a waving of palm branches, the lulav, was an early religious practice of the country Jews of Palestine. Jesus and his disciples, who were mainly Galilean farmers, conformed to that Jewish folk ritual of purification before Passover. Also in the early Jewish agricultural calendar, Sunday was a sacred day measured from sunrise to sunrise. Easter Sunday, therefore, was based on the ancient Israelite practice of religious services at sunrise. Professor Morgenstern also notes that the theme of death and resurrection traces back to Jewish traditions. Before Passover, King David went to the Mount of Olives, where he defeated the angel of death, then returned to Jerusalem in a joyous procession. Today, Judaism and Christianity are two distinctive, proud, and independent religions. Their common origins suggest that Jews and Christians bear a unique family relationship that hopefully will lead to growing mutual respect everywhere, including the Holy Land of their common birth. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The proceeding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS.
News Time 7:33. Now here is a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Mayor Dinkins' address last Friday night was a masterful contribution to the family therapy so badly needed by this city. It registered positively because it was clearly heartfelt, honest, and just. New York City is in many ways a massive, complicated extended family. One of the basic principles of family or group therapy is to contain the use of toxic language, poison words and images, which destroy the trust which bind families together. Mayor Dinkins rightly recognized that there has been far too much exploitation of toxic words and images by demagogues. They often inflame rhetoric to advance their own political purposes. Group libel is also part of that demagogic technique, pitting one group against another. Racial, religious, ethnic conflict has broken out in many parts of the world and threatens to bring down one society after another. Mayor Dinkins, to his credit, understands the seriousness of that conflict in this extraordinary city and is clearly determined to help bring all the people together in mutual respect. He deserves the fullest cooperation of each of us. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The proceeding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wins News Time.
Wins News Time 7:36. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
There is a real connection, I believe, between the observance of Memorial Day and Shavuot or Pentecost, which begins Tuesday evening. From its beginnings, Memorial Day has united symbolically the American people in grateful memory of our military who sacrificed their lives in defense of human dignity, democracy, and freedom. Shavuot commemorates the receiving of the Ten Commandments, the moral law at Mount Sinai, as the basis of civilized life. Ironically, in this Memorial Day, peace and stability have grown in parts of Eastern Europe and Central America, but our domestic streets have become more threatened by crime, drugs, and violence. Our major cities, New York, Washington, Los Angeles, among others, have become virtual battlefields. There will be long discussions and studies about the reasons for this destructive pattern. But one thing seems clear. We are indulging almost passively a popular culture that links sex and violence as entertainment. The value of human life is becoming increasingly shredded before our eyes. Shavuot calls on us to reverse that dehumanization while there is still time. And Memorial Day should remind us that American military men and women did not sacrifice their lives in order to preserve a morally vicious society. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. News Time 7:36. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
None of us should rest easily over the rise of religious, racial, and ethnic bigotry in our city, but also in the nation and internationally. Bensonhurst, Korean boycott, Howard Beach, Central Park rape of a jogger have become the inflamed flags of such intergroup hostility. How do we explain this rise in group hatred, and how are we to cope with it? The late psychoanalyst Dr. Eric Frum, in a monumental study of group hatred between Muslims and Hindus in India, concluded that group narcissism is the engine of much intergroup violence. As is the case with individual narcissism, a group attributes to itself superior value and virtue and regards the outside group as inferior. That false pride leads to making the outside group into a monster and denying it any human worth. With those hostile stereotypes, it's a short trip to physical violence against the other group. When there is economic and political turmoil, individuals seek security by loving their own group and hating the other. Crucial in stemming this pathology of hatred are the messages of our leaders and cultural heroes who need regularly to reject bigotry as totally unacceptable. Above all, what mothers and fathers teach their children around the kitchen table about respecting and even loving their neighbors may be the oldest but the most important message of all. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding a commentary, views expressed not necessarily the views of WINS. Wins News Time 7:37, now a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Nelson Mandela's forthcoming visit to the United States should not be allowed to result in further stress between the Afro-American and Jewish communities. Handled with reason and wisdom on both sides, Mandela's presence could become an occasion for clearing the air rather than creating greater emotional smog. The Jewish community realizes, I believe, that Mandela will be hailed as a virtual savior of black South Africans in their just struggle against the oppressions of apartheid. Mandela's central purpose here is not to advance the cause of the PLO. It would be a major mistake in judgment, in my view, for anyone to dramatize the PLO as the central issue of Mandela's visit. That would, in fact, hand Yasser Arafat a giant moral victory that he could not achieve on his own. The historic record is that both South African and American Jews have been among the most stalwart supporters of the anti-apartheid struggle, while Saudi Arabia and other Arab countries have been major commercial partners of the apartheid regime. Thus, if mainstream Jewish leaders are restrained publicly now on the PLO issue, that is not passive acquiescence to the PLO's terrorism. Rather, that restraint is a sign of respect for Nelson Mandela and the anti-apartheid struggle. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS.
Newstime 7:37, and here is a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Father's Day, in classic Jewish tradition, was observed ideally every day and not just one day a year. In East European Jewish life, there was a saying that a man's father is his king. The crucial elements of the Jewish father's status were that he was a man of learning, of personal virtues, of charity, and of service to the community. In short, he was a role model, and his meaning to his children was as much caught as taught. Together with fellow Americans, Jews joined today in honoring American fathers with the traditional cufflinks, ties, and other usual gifts. But sensitive American Jews and others of conscience will find this Father's Day troubled by the knowledge that many fathers and their families throughout the world will not experience this day as a time of celebration and gift-giving. In South Africa, as Nelson Mandela will remind us this week, black fathers are still forcibly separated from their families in the homelands. And in our own city, thousands of homeless fathers and mothers hang on to life by their fingertips and wits. We rightly rejoice over Father's Day and the freedom of our beloved America, but we ought not to forget those thousands of other fathers in many parts of the world for whom Father's Day is another day of deprivation rather than celebration. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed not necessarily the views of WINS.
Time 7:37. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The dramatic visit of Nelson Mandela to New York was nothing short of a personal triumph. Mr. Mandela is a natural aristocrat with obvious charismatic power. His gifts of communication lifted up the justice of the anti-apartheid struggle to new levels of awareness and commitment for all of us. And that is a great and positive good. But I regret to say that his charisma does not resolve some basic contradictions in his positions. Thus, Mr. Mandela's consistent support of Colonel Gaddafi, Fidel Castro, and the PLO's Yasser Arafat is morally mind-boggling. The overwhelming support of the anti-apartheid campaign rests on its clear-cut moral foundations, establishment of human rights and civil and political liberties. Gaddafi, Castro, and Arafat, in their extensive support of international terrorists, are among the worst violators of human rights in the world today. It would be a historic tragedy if the struggle to dismantle the evils of apartheid became contaminated by association with these terrorist factories. Marxist revolutionary ideologies are collapsing all over the world. Who needs to cling to Gaddafi, Castro, and Arafat? South African blacks, I believe, deserve better than that stigma. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. News Time 7:36. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
He was a powerful person. His power was that of love. And his power was never at the expense of another human being. Those were the words of Rabbi Levi Kelman of Jerusalem as he paid loving tribute to his remarkable father, Rabbi Wolf Kelman. Wolf, who was my classmate at the Jewish Theological Seminary, died last week after a long struggle with cancer. During his 40 years as head of the Rabbinical Assembly, he literally helped change the course of Jewish and general history through his wisdom and statesmanship. Wolf Kelman was beloved everywhere as the rabbi's rabbi. He transformed the conservative rabbinate into a large model professional group that empowered the spiritual life and the physical security of rabbis. He worked vigorously to promote solidarity with the Orthodox and Reform movements and to advance mutual respect between all religions and races. Out of his rich Hasidic background, he lived a life of learning and deep caring for Jews and others all over the world. And with all that hectic activity, he was a devoted husband to his loving partner, Jackie, and a caring father to his children and grandchildren. His daughter, Nama, spoke for all of us who were blessed to know Wolf Kelman when she said, "My heart is broken and yet so full. That is a paradox my father would understand. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. 737. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The recent joint declaration by Jewish and Catholic religious leaders calling for systematic cultivation of moral values in our nation's public school system is a potentially important development. Written by committees of the National Conference of Catholic Bishops and the Synagogue Council of America, the statement speaks to the widespread anxieties in American society over the rise in drug addiction, crime, depression, alcoholism, promiscuity, AIDS, and teenage pregnancies. The joint statement views these social problems in large part as a result of the collapse of fundamental values like honesty, integrity, tolerance, loyalty, and belief in human worth and dignity. In a nation that spends billions of dollars to influence youth as to which cars to buy and which clothes to wear, it is a national disgrace to fail to teach basic values in the public schools, the interfaith document says. While acknowledging that many school systems have developed excellent values education programs, the religious leaders say that moral values crisis is so great that it now requires the mobilization of the entire society to cope with it effectively. The program they propose, especially for parents and schools, for renewing America's moral vision, deserves everybody's attention. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. News Time 736. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The current visit to the United States of the Ecumenical Patriarch Demetrius I of Constantinople is quite rightly an event of major religious importance to Eastern Orthodox Christians. Symbolically, it is also an occasion for acknowledging the positive growth in relationships over recent decades between the Greek Orthodox and Jewish communities in this country. In January 1972, I had the privilege of co-chairing with His Eminence Archbishop Yakovos, the brilliant primate of the Greek Orthodox Church in the Western Hemisphere, the first National Conference of Greek Orthodox and Jewish Scholars and Leaders. It was a remarkable experience in shared learning about our rich cultures that led to mutual respect and friendship despite our differences. The visit of the Patriarch Demetrios might well become a stimulus for enlarging that circle of understanding between Eastern Orthodox Christians and Jews and other parts of the world as well. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS.
Wait, News Time 736. Now commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Should gay and lesbian rabbis be allowed to serve Jewish congregations? That controversial issue received widely differing responses in the Jewish community in recent weeks. After lengthy study, the Central Conference of American Rabbis voted unanimously to welcome homosexuals into the Reform Rabbinate. Orthodox Jewish leaders vigorously opposed the decision. Their view is based on the belief that the Bible and Jewish law strictly prohibit homosexual activity. The Conservative Rabbinical Assembly adopted a sensitive resolution in May. It welcomed gay and lesbians as full members in conservative synagogues, deplored violence and prejudice against them, and urged full civic equality. It avoided the gay rabbi issue, at least for the present. However, this new reality works itself out. It could well become a serious factor in future Jewish unity and cooperation. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed not necessarily the views of WINS.
Wednesday News Time, 7:36. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Iraq's invasion of the small kingdom of Kuwait is both scary and an important warning. As seen in the Jewish community, Saddam Hussein's blitzkrieg takeover of Kuwait eerily recalls Hitler's conquering of Czechoslovakia. Britain's Chamberlain then appeased the Nazi despot, thus inviting a whole series of brutal aggressions. But Winston Churchill wisely warned the hesitant neutrals in 1940 that each of the European nations hopes that if he feeds the crocodile enough, the crocodile will eat him last. Now Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and other Arab nations see that their real enemy is not Israel, but the Iraqi crocodile. The United States and the United Nations have made strong statements condemning Iraq's aggression. But right rhetoric must be accompanied by strong actions to contain the Iraqi despot's fierce appetite. Beyond all else, we need to remember that those who do not learn from history may be tragically doomed to repeat it. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. News Time 7:36. Now a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The unified response of the world community, including many of the Arab nations, against Iraq's aggression is a most encouraging development. Imagine how our history would have been changed had there been such a collective rejection and total boycott of Adolf Hitler in the 1930s. How many millions of lives would have been saved? How many cities preserved from destruction? Perhaps we're finally learning some lessons from history about containing tyrants. Saddam Hussein parades himself as a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylonia. That ruler of early Iraq was a brutal tyrant who fancied himself as a ruler of the earth, even as a god. When Israel destroyed the Iraqi nuclear reactor in 1981, they knew then the threat that Saddam Hussein posed to the world. Maybe if world leaders had then supported rather than condemned Israel's preventive action, we would not today be mobilizing to defend Saudi Arabia, the Persian Gulf, and our own oil supplies. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wednesday News Time, 7:38. Now a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
One of the first moral casualties of Iraq's brutal invasion of Kuwait has been the criminal assault on the truth. Saddam Hussein first assured his Arab brothers that he would not invade Kuwait, then annexed the country, robbing it blind. He vowed he would not take over Saudi Arabia, but ordered more than 100,000 troops to the Saudi borders. He also deceives about the safety of Western hostages. Now, the biggest lie that he's trying to peddle is that he will pull out of Kuwait if Israel leaves the West Bank first, as if these were similar situations. Israel occupied the West Bank and Gaza in a defensive war reacting to an aggression by five Arab nations who tried to destroy the Jewish state. Saddam's annexation of Kuwait was unprovoked aggression, pure and simple. Fortunately, President Bush, our government, and other nations understand Hitler's big lie technique and are responding wisely and appropriately. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. I'm 7:37. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Recent public opinion polls report that some 75% of the American people support President Bush's firm decision to send our military forces to Saudi Arabia. Of course, I strongly support that decision. But it is important to keep clear our objectives. American and other forces are in the Persian Gulf to contain the brutal aggression of Iraq's Saddam Hussein against Kuwait and to protect the world's legitimate oil interests. But we are not there to defend Arab democracy because it is virtually non-existent. For decades, Saudi Arabia has discriminated against women, Christians, Jews, and blacks. Christian chaplains have not been allowed to wear their crosses. Jews have been banned from the country. Some observers feel that the goodwill generated by the American response and the presence today of so many American military of diverse religions may yet affect tolerant change. Let's hope so, but I wouldn't make a democratic romance out of our practical alliance with Saudi Arabia today. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS.
Now here is a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Beginning tomorrow, a four-day international conference will be held in Prague involving some 60 Vatican and world Jewish representatives. According to Seymour Reich, chairman of the International Jewish Committee, the conference will be the first of its kind since the Freedom Revolution swept Eastern Europe. Both the Roman Catholic and Jewish leaders share a growing concern over the rise of right-wing nationalism, which feeds ethnic conflict and anti-Semitism. No democracy or human liberties can be maintained as long as group hatreds run wild. Catholic leaders in Eastern Europe played a critical role in bringing down communist tyrannies in their countries. They now have genuine influence and moral authority to change Catholic-Jewish relations for the better. Should that begin to take place next week, it could be one of the most important developments between Catholics and Jews since Vatican Council II. I will be reporting on that Prague conference in my next broadcast. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The proceeding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS.
Wednesday News Time, 7:37. And now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The meeting last week in Prague of some 60 Vatican and Jewish representatives was among the most constructive I have experienced in 30 years of service in Catholic-Jewish relations. Under the leadership of Archbishop Cassidy and Seymour Reich, the meeting faced all the hard issues in a spirit of remarkable candor and friendship. These included a review of 1900 years of anti-Semitism in the Christian West, the role of the Vatican in World War II, and the issue of Vatican full diplomatic relations with Israel. The conference paid much attention to the current rise of anti-Semitism and ethnic group conflict in Eastern Europe. It was unanimously agreed to help set up joint Catholic-Jewish groups in each of these countries to counter these ancient hatreds. Cardinal Cassidy expressed the spirit of the conference when he condemned anti-Semitism as a sin against God and humanity, and that one cannot be authentically Christian and engage in anti-Semitism. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed not necessarily the views of WINS. It's time 7:37. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, begins at sundown this Wednesday evening. The high holy days of Rosh Hashanah, climaxed by Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, are solemn days that express the universal human need for self-correction, for taking stock of one's life. Through repentance and later through fasting, the Jew seeks to change individual and group existence for the better. Again this year, Rosh Hashanah enables us to confront honestly the corruptions, the bigotry, the greed and selfishness that is so widespread. The themes of who shall live and who shall die make us more conscious of the violence and destruction of so many lives, as is in Iraq, Lebanon, Ireland, South Africa, and elsewhere. In the face of such widespread human suffering, Rosh Hashanah encourages us to help redeem and heal an anguished world through acts of moral courage, kindness, and caring for human lives. May all our WINS listeners be inscribed for a good and, above all, a peaceful new year. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. 36. Now here's a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
With the chanting of the moving Aramaic prayer of Kol Nidre this coming Friday evening, the Jewish people begins the observance of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It is the most sacred of the Jewish holy days. Observed as a solemn fast day from sundown to sundown, Yom Kippur's message is that through teshuvah, repentance, it is possible to improve one's character and conscience. In the synagogue on Kol Nidre evening, each person is called upon to ask forgiveness from neighbors for any injustices committed during the past year. And Yom Kippur is of no avail unless people forgive each other and start anew. What blows might be struck against the corruptions, the fanaticisms, the violence, and the bigotries if neighbors and nations would practice genuine repentance and forgiveness? It might help start the world on a new, more civilized course for the coming year. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wins News Time, 7:37. Now here is a commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
Beginning this Wednesday evening, the Jewish people starts observing the 8-day festival of Sukkot, or Tabernacles. Sukkot is a joyous biblical festival of thanksgiving. It recalls the time when our Israelite ancestors were mostly farmers who lived in booths or huts during the harvest season in ancient Palestine. Key symbols of Sukkot are the palm branch, the lulav, bound with willow and myrtle, and the etrog, the aromatic citron. A rabbinic tradition teaches that holding the palm and citron together in prayer is a symbol of our human brotherhood. We are mutually responsible for each other's welfare, the rabbis teach. In our time when millions of human beings, especially children, suffer from hunger or die of malnutrition, these Sukkot messages of compassion and care are as relevant today as at any time in the past. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum.
The proceeding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS.